Blog Talk Radio.
Health is a static process. You have health until you get sick. And then you take this for that. Wellness is a dynamic process. It's not a quick fix. It's a conscious decision you make daily to give your body what it needs to be well. When you supply your cells with the right nutrients, your cells can help keep you well. So which camp are you in? Static or dynamic? Health or wellness? Hello, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to actually tune in to this broadcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes, I will give you some valuable, hopefully valuable information for you to actually utilize. First of all, before we go on, please go to wiserliving.com. That's W-E-I-S-E-R, W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com. And on that initial page, you will actually see on the right-hand side where you can get a consultation, even a Skype consultation. You'll also see in a few seconds a pop-up where you can put your name and email address there. It's free. Please do that. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archived radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all the articles, programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take time to take a look at that. So recap real quickly. Check us out. Sign up. It's free. At wiserliving.com, subscribe at Wiser Living TV, follow us at Wiser Living Radio, like us on facebook.com/wiserliving, W-I-S-E-R, living. And you can also connect with us on Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Instagram. Okay, diverticulitis. Or I should say diverticulosis is basically defined as a condition where you have diverticula, LA, present in the intestines without any signs of inflammation, which means that you can have multiple diverticula without having an intestinal problem. So the fact that you may have these outpouches called diverticula throughout your intestinal tract is okay. Or is it okay? At least temporarily, it's okay. So let's get some clarification on some of the words I'll be using throughout our time together in this program. If you have one of these things or outpouches, it's called a diverticulum. If you have two or more of these outpouches, it will be assigned the title diverticula. One outpouch equals diverticulum. Two or more outpouches equal diverticula. These outpouches can be termed little sacs or little sac formations or pocket formations in the walls of your intestinal tract. So basically, the colon, which brings us to the word diverticulosis is what I started out with. Diverticulosis, then, is a condition where you have these small outpouches or sacs in your large intestine. It can be throughout the intestinal tract, but mainly in your large intestine or your colon. Diverticulosis is a disease condition where you are aware of it, or you may not be aware of it. This condition has the ability to take a turn for the worse at any time because it's not supposed to be there. It's a sign that you have a compromised intestinal tract, which can be a problem should the wrong entities show up. So in those with diverticulitis, itis part of it is saying or defining the compromised area as the colon's mucous membrane becoming inflamed, resulting in the formation of small pouch-like or sac-like areas or diverticula, mainly in the large intestine. Pouches typically form when an individual is constipated. When a person is constipated, greatly increased pressure is needed to force small portions of hard, dry stool through the bowels. Now, this rise in pressure can cause these pouches or these sacs to form at weak points along the walls of the colon. So the diverticula at this point in time really don't cause any symptoms. They're there, maybe increasing in number, but you aren't aware of it. And this can be going on for decades and decades because it usually doesn't alarm you until you reach your 50s. So you have a constipation or you have a condition of constipation, and it's off and on, say during your pre-puberty years and into your teenage years. You know, you take a laxative occasionally or you eat some prunes or every now and then to get your bowels to move. Or you eat processed foods, you eat candy, you drink sugary sodas, you drink caffeine drinks or caffeinated drinks instead of having just 4 to 5 meals in your gut at this time, eating this type of way. You have 6 to 10 or more meals clogging up your intestine. Your gut becomes distended. You give it a nice little name like muffin top or beer belly, and you go on with life. You don't even think about these pouches because you don't see them, you don't hear them, you know, you don't feel them. And as I said before, the diverticula or sacs themselves don't cause problems or symptoms. But if waste matter becomes trapped in the pouch, it can become infected and inflamed. So whenever inflammation shows up, there is heat, redness, and swelling present. So and sometimes some pain. So the 4 basic symptoms of inflammation is heat, redness, pain, and swelling. Now, we have these symptoms. Let me remind you that this condition could be 10, 15, 20, or 30, or even 40 years in the making. And symptoms of diverticulitis include cramping, tenderness on the left side, because this is the section of the colon where the stuff to be eliminated, that's where it lives. It resides there until it's time to come out. And these symptoms are relieved by passing gas or a bowel movement or constipation or diarrhea and even nausea. But there's some other conditions that list these as well. You know, some people will not have any symptoms at all. And to complicate matters even further, poor eating habits and stress, yes, stress, compound the problem. So if an allergy is suspected, you may need a food sensitivity test. You know, partially digested starch may cause food to pass through the colon too rapidly. A poor diet, a family history of diverticulitis, gallbladder disease, or if you don't have a gallbladder, obesity and coronary artery disease increase the possibility of developing diverticulitis. Now, this disease is quite common as it occurs in 10% of people over age 40. It becomes more prevalent as we increase in age. 50% of people over age 60 and nearly everyone in their 8th decade of life or their 80s have it or some form of it. They at least have a pouch, but usually multiple. Now, let's turn our attention to basically reversing and preventing the negative effects of this condition. Because usually, you know, we could spend so much time on why you have it, what the words mean and everything, but how do you turn the corner and go the other way? How do you kick it out of your system? How do you get yourself in a position where you don't have to deal with this? By turning to a different area, whenever one is dealing with any type of disorder, the first thing we should address is lifestyle. So no matter what you have going on in your body, you should address your lifestyle, whether you think you have something or not. In any nutritional support protocol, lifestyle is probably the most important. So here are 5 lifestyle recommendations. 5 lifestyle recommendations. You might want to write this down, jot some notes down, or even listen to this program again. It will be archived. So let's look at 5 lifestyle recommendations, the 5 top ones. Number 1, control stress. Control stress and avoid extra obligation. Now, that can mean a lot of things. And for some of you, that will mean reducing the number of decisions that you make every day. That means spending less time on the internet. Because when you scroll through, let's say, the Facebook feed, you're making tons of decisions, and a lot of them are unnecessary. You're clicking on all sorts of stuff because, you know, you're curious, or they're making you curious, or you feel that if you don't do it, you might miss something. That's a decision. You're making these decisions. And so you're clicking through everything for hours sometimes. These decisions lead to fatigue. It leads to poor eating habits, which leads to stress hormones pumped into your system, which can lead to an upset stomach, which can lead to intestinal abnormalities, which can lead to tension headaches, and on and on and on. I bet you didn't think of that. Next time you go through your feeds and your Pinterest and all that kind of stuff, look at the decisions you're making and how you feel. So control stress and avoid extra obligations. And you can do this simply by just making a list of the things to be accomplished each day, and then stick to the list. So I'm not saying what you should put on the list, but whatever you put on the list, stick to it that day. That will reduce your stress level, reduce cortisol, reduce your body to be dysfunctional, going from a state of health to ill health. Number two, avoid smoking and alcohol consumption. Avoid smoking and alcohol consumption. We're talking about diverticulitis, right, or diverticulosis. You really want to deal with it when it's in the osis stage, before you get the inflammation. So number two would be avoid smoking and alcohol consumption, especially if you have an active problem, itis, or diverticulitis. Number three, participate in a regular balanced exercise program that includes you might need to wear a pedometer to ensure that you collect enough steps, which means that you're moving. You need to move, especially if you have a job where you're sitting behind a desk or in front of a computer all day. High intensity short burst intervals, like 20 to 60 seconds of activity during the day, is recommended to enhance growth hormone release. Also, you should perform some sort of resistance training that works all of the major muscle groups, and you should work each muscle group approximately at least two times a week. So that's a minimum. Number four, practice good sleep habits. Make every attempt, I mean every attempt, because you're not going to like this, but make every attempt to get between 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night. Yep, I said 8 or 9, and I know you're already saying that's impossible. Well, I know it can be challenging at best, but you still need to shoot for that. That should be a goal. Maybe you want to put that on your a list at night. That one list. All you need is one thing on the list. I need to get 8 to 9 hours. So you might need to go to bed a little earlier. That means you're going to miss one of your programs, but you can actually save it or whatever, do the Netflix thing or whatever. So that's number four, 8 to 9 hours. Even I have a challenge doing that. Number five, avoid antibiotics unless it's prescribed by your medical professional, which in that case you can't. If you are taking antibiotics, you're going to need to replace the good bacteria that will be killed off by the antibiotic, because anti means against and bio means life. So when you take it, it's going to kill things that are living. It can't make determination which is good and which is bad. So you're going to have to take something, which I'll give in some recommendations in a few minutes. So those are the five lifestyle recommendations. Let me go over them real quickly. Yeah. Number one is eat a low resolute. No. Actually, let's not do that. Or maybe I should. Let me do it again. Number one is control your stress and avoid extra obligations. Avoid smoking and alcohol consumption, number two. Number three is participate in a regular balanced exercise program. Number four would be, practice good sleep habits. And number five is avoid antibiotics. Okay, all right. And my little cheat sheet is not working out today, but let's go to dietary recommendations. Number one, eat a low-residue soft food diet while symptomatic. So when you have the inflammation, the inflammatory issue, diverticulitis, eat a low-residue soft food diet. If you desire gut health, you're going to need fiber. And I'm not talking about bulking up your diet with bran muffins and cereal. That would be a huge mistake. You were looking at soluble fiber. Soluble fiber that is found in, say, blueberries and cucumbers and beans and nuts, and they actually dissolve into a gel-like texture, helping to slow down your digestion. Insoluble fiber, on the other hand, is found in foods like dark green leafy vegetables, green beans, celery, celery root, and carrots, because they don't dissolve at all, and they help add bulk to your stool. This helps food to move through your digestive tract more quickly for a healthy elimination. Now, dietary fiber, especially insoluble fiber, may reduce your risk of diverticulitis up to 40%. So you can see how important it is. Avoid all grains, including wheat, rye, oats, barley, spelt, kamut, buckwheat, bulgur, amaranth, quinoa, teff, which is basically crackers, cookies, bread, and pastries, rice, until the inflammation has subsided. Then we can start thinking about what you can add back or what you should add back. Number three, avoid dairy products. Goat's milk and goat's cheese from goat milk is acceptable if you're not sensitive to it. So avoid all dairy, but you can have goat milk and goat cheese. Number four, avoid all supplements that use black pepper extract, which is also called piperine. That's P-E-P-E-R-I-N-E. So you want to avoid those during the active itis phase of the diverticulitis. Number five, avoid sugar. Avoid sweetened products. You can use a little xylitol if you need to, but avoid all sugar for a while. Number six, avoid carrageenan-containing products since this can irritate the GI tract. Avoid carrageenan-containing products. Number seven, avoid any known food allergies. And we at Wise Living, we actually have a metabolic profile to test for this. So if that's something you're interested in, you can go to Wise Living. And number eight, avoid all foods that cause diarrhea. This can be a tough one because it's going to be different for different people. It could be as simple as the amount. The food could be okay, but the amount isn't. So it's like one half a banana, no diarrhea, but a whole banana or two or three, diarrhea. So you're going to have to do a journal and figure out which ones are causing your diarrhea. So avoid those. Number nine, eat 5 to 9 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables daily, or at least add a super green formulation to your daily intake. And number 10, eat healthy protein-enriched snacks throughout the day to prevent missing a meal. So usually you have you eat three meals. Most people eat two meals, but say 6 times a day you need to put something in your mouth. It rounds out to like every 2 hours, really. Let's say you eat breakfast at 10 o'clock, snack. 12 o'clock, lunch. 2 o'clock, snack. 4 o'clock, 4:30, whatever. Dinner, and then 2 hours later, you can have a small snack. And that way, it keeps your body from kicking in hormones because it precedes that you're stressful. Remember, I talked about reducing your stress. So those are your dietary recommendations. Eat a low-residue soft food diet, basically vegetables and fruits. Sometimes if you if you can't really eat, say, the veggies, you might want to put them in a blender and puree them and eat them like baby food, right? That would be healthy elimination as well. So eat soft foods. Number two, you want to, where's my number two? Very good. Avoid all grains. Avoid dairy products. Number four, avoid all supplements that use black pepper extract. Avoid sugar and sweetened products. Number six, avoid carrageenan. Seven, avoid any known food allergies. And number eight, avoid all foods that cause diarrhea. Eat 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. And eat healthy protein-enriched snacks. And you notice I said healthy protein-enriched snacks, which means you can't just go to the store and get those protein bars, because most of those you should not eat. Okay? Okay, let's go to supplement recommendations. Supplement recommendations. In addition to a core nutrient program of protein, healthy fats, and carbohydrates, you're also going to need additional supplementation or add-ons in order to improve gut performance. And one of those is probiotics. Now, whether you are taking antibiotics or not, you need to replenish good bacteria in the intestinal tract like Acidophilus or Bifidobacterium, that species, because it's three of them, because probiotics help support proper development of your immune system. Once again, probiotics help support proper development of the immune system. And 70-80% of your immune system resides in your colon. So this is essential. These things that are essential, which means you have to do this. Another supplement recommendation is B-complex vitamins, preferably plant matrix. That's essential because antibiotics and toxins actually starts to interfere with B-complex vitamins. And a lot of B-complex vitamins or B vitamins are made in your colon. This is outside of you supplementing them. So you need to supplement with B-complex vitamins. So probiotics and B-complex are essential nutrients. Enzymes. Multi-phase enzymes are very important for intestinal health because they not only break down proteins, they aid in digestion, and they reduce inflammation in the colon. So the enzymes are very important because, if nothing else, they reduce the inflammatory response in the colon. So gastrointestinal enzymes are very important nutrients. So far, we've covered essential nutrients needed and very important nutrients needed. The next level is termed important nutrients. And that would be garlic, chopped and swallowed. Chop it into small pieces and swallow it with a glass of water. The reason why I'm saying it over and over again, because I get so many comments or questions, I'm going to smell like garlic. Because right now when I say swallow the garlic, you don't hear the swallow part. Your brain automatically goes to I'm going to smell like garlic part. If you swallow it, you will not smell like garlic. Maybe your bowel movement will, which tells you that it's working, but it will not come out through your pores unless you chew it. So do not chew it. You want to swallow it, and you won't have it on your breath either. So if I hear you saying you have it on your breath, you chew it. But if you chop it and swallow it with a glass of water, you will not. All right? Garlic is an important nutrient. Vitamin K is important. A deficiency of vitamin K has been linked to intestinal disorders. Alfalfa is a good source of vitamin K, but I suggest you get a good vitamin D, say in a capsule of at least 5,000 IU, which has vitamin K1 and K2 in it. I highly recommend that for you, and I also have a brand that I can recommend to you. So if you want to know the brand that you can compare whatever you think is good or whatever, is in your locale, I can give you what we take here at Wiser Living, and then you can check it out against anything else that you're taking. Now, plant matrix vitamin and minerals, because you not only need B-complex, as I said before, but you also need vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E to reduce inflammation. So as you can see, rather than getting each one, you can get it in a plant matrix, a vitamin mineral formula, which will have all of this in it. Now just to give you an example, what I take a product called Ambertose, which has the sugars that I need for communication. I protect the cell, which I protect the colon by taking an antioxidant, and an antioxidant that covers and protects the cell. So I got protection going on. Then I take some raw material in a product called Plus, which actually gives me raw material so my body can make 87 hormones each and every day. And then I take a plant matrix of vitamin and mineral that has everything in it. This one that I take is actually patented, so, and it's NSF certified. So what they say on the label is actually in the capsule and standardized, which means from capsule to capsule or tablet to tablet to tablet, it's the same stuff, same percentage, everything. Then I kind of wrap that in gastrointestinal enzymes, which I said is very important, and gastrointestinal probiotics. And even though I take a gastrointestinal probiotic, I also drink fermented juice. I'll eat the fermentation, like whatever the vegetable is. It could be cauliflower, carrots, sauerkraut, you know, cabbage, which is cabbage, kimchi. You know, all of these are on our counter. So not only do I take it in a capsule form, I also drink it and I also eat it. And this is throughout the day because we have so many toxins. The toxins are killing some of the good bacteria. So you have to constantly replenish this in your intestinal tract. Why? Because even last week, if you were on that last week's program, I said, so go the intestinal tract, so go you. Now, today, I can say, so go the colon. We can isolate it to the colon. So go the colon, so go you. So go the colon, so goes the rest of your body. So go the colon, so goes your brain, because there's a gut-brain connection. Okay? So let me give you some herbal recommendations. And they include the use of cayenne, chamomile, garlic, which I already mentioned, papaya, psyllium seeds, red clover, and yarrow extract or tea for diverticulitis when it's inflamed. So those are the herbal recommendations. Let me say it again. Cayenne, chamomile, garlic, papaya, psyllium seed, red clover, and yarrow extract. And that's just a short list. There are some other ones that I don't have time to mention, so this is a short list. Now, psyllium seed basically cleans the intestine and softens the stools. You can drink 2 cups daily of Podiarco tea as well. So if you have a severe case of diverticulitis, put all your veggies and fruits in a blender, as I mentioned before, and eat it like baby food. Make sure everything is organic. I cannot stress that any stronger. Make sure everything is organic. Now, you can also drink carrot juice, cabbage juice, or whatever. But what I'd like to do before doing any of this is to take an enema. This is the Wiser Living formula. You know, take an enema, you know, a coffee enema, and you follow that by 2 to 4 ounces of olive oil and coconut oil and a third cup of lemon juice, and you mix it and drink it. Then you make some bone broth. Bone broth is critical. You can get the recipe on Wiser Living. I'll probably post it today just to have it out there. And you can add the veggies and the probiotics and then everything else. So you do the bone broth, you drink that day as well, and add the veggies or probiotics and then everything else. So for prevention, just let me do prevention again. Number one, cleanse the entire intestinal tract, enema. Oil the intestinal tract, the oil and lemon juice formula. Replace and replenish the normal flora, which is bacteria, yeast, oil concentrates, and enzymes. And your intestinal tract is also going to get a rest. And then you add the nutrient value. So I hope you got this. And there's some Blog Talk past programs that address this, and some YouTube videos that address it as well as the benefit of fermented vegetables, what exactly is detoxification and why do it, enemas, the oil and lemon juice extract, oil and lemon juice cleanse, and why should you swallow raw garlic, okay? I hope this has been informative, a lot of information. You may want to go back and listen to the archived program. And just remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.